Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. I'm your host, Matt Blymeyer. Our guest today on this episode is the head coach of the men's golf program, Rob Lytle. Let's just jump right in. Give us your background on golf and how you found your way here.
So, Matt, basically, I played golf in high school and was fortunate enough to get recruited by Elon University down in North Carolina. Played golf down there, loved it. The weather was really good down there, and decided my senior year I was going to turn pro. I had these lofty dreams that I was going to be, you know, the next Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and turn pro out of college. At that particular time, I was playing the Coastal Carolina Tour and the Ben Hogan Tour, which is now the Korn Ferry Tour. But, you know, the money wasn't there back in 1989, 90, 91, and was hired as a playing professional at a place called Traburn Country Club in Durham, North Carolina. And down there, I played a lot of golf, got to meet a lot of members, got to meet a good group of guys that were able to back me to play. And I taught. I taught lessons. I just worked with members. And from then on, I left there in 93, came back to a family business, but I've always loved golf. I played a lot of amateur golf, played a lot of state tournaments, invitationals, and it evolved into me having kids. My kids got into golf. I started helping out in high school golf, and that's where I met Matt, the former head coach here at Penn College, and we just started working with the players about 3.5-4 years ago, and he asked me, hey, could you take a look? Could you give them some advice? And that's really how I got into golf. It's been an obsession for, I'm 58, so it's been an obsession for 55 years. I've been playing golf since I was three.
Yeah, tell us, I think it's almost every day, possibly in your basement. You take how many putts every day just because you have to get your putts in for the day?
Well, I don't know if it's every day, but when my kids were little, I built kind of a mini batting cage downstairs in the basement, and I turned it into more of a golf room. So I have a putting green, I have a simulator, I have a hitting net, and I hit putts downstairs in my basement almost every day. I'm not as obsessed as I was a long time ago, but I probably will hit 100 putts. And it's normally just either watching baseball or watching football or basketball or whatever's on. I'll just pick up a putter and start hitting putts. And then next thing you know, it's like, all right, I've made 12. I'm going to make 13. I'm going to make 14. And that's what I do.
I think it was the winter of 21. Matt Hiley, the head coach at the time, he had worked here at Penn College in the IT office. He had accepted a position elsewhere, and he was unable to do both because his job was taking him to Danville. And so he had to step away. And so I remember speaking with him about it. Obviously, you don't want a coaching change midseason, and he had brought your name up as a potential replacement. And I remember thinking, okay, let's get on. I don't know if you remember this. Let's get on a three-way call. So me, you, and Matt, we got on a three-way call, and it was just, you know, I just wanted to get to know who you were and what you were about before we made this decision to take over this program, which had just the year prior won a championship. And clearly you made an impact because you're still here. Tell us about your decision to throw your hat in a ring to take that position.
And Matt had mentioned to me that he was going to be moving, transitioning to another job. His wife was pregnant at the time, and he didn't think he was going to be able to coach the golf team anymore. And what I said to him was, well, that stinks. You know, I said, we had a lot of fun together, you know, the last couple of years. And, you know, I certainly understand. And he was going to be closer to home. And in that conversation, he goes, well, why don't you do it? And I never, ever thought about that. Trust me, never thought about it. And I go, I don't know, would they even hire me? So it was, for me, it was a lot of thinking. You know, I mean, I coached two girls' teams to district championships, but they're college kids. One thing I liked about the student athletes here was they're committed to their majors, but they were a little more mature than high school kids. Mm-hmm. So I gave it some thought, and I said to Matt at that particular time, if that is an option, I certainly would think about it. And you and I had a conversation at that particular time. I believe my first season was the season after they won the conference championship. It was spring, so we were going to a conference championship, and for me, everything was new. Everything was new. Had no idea what I was getting involved in. And I remember going to the first tournament, and obviously coaching our team and watching other teams, and I went, oh God, if this is college golf, I can't do it. Mm. 5.5 hour rounds, 6 hour rounds. And I'm like, there is no way I will survive in this environment. And here I am now.
I feel like every year your confidence as a head coach grows, your questions diminish, which the questions initially were good questions. Like, you were never afraid to ask questions because you wanted to do it right. But now you have 3.5 years under your belt. What did you learn in that first year?
When I was helping out, just being a person on the range helping out, I thought this is great. You get to work on some golf swings, you work on some mental stuff, you get to play a few holes with the guys. I didn't know all the backroom stuff. I didn't know all the paperwork, all the logistics, everything that we have to go through to be college head golf coach or head coaches. And that was the biggest transition for me. Going through that first year, I watched a lot of bad golf, not from our team, but from other teams. And we're Division III. So we're not the upper echelon, but there's still a really lot of good golf and a lot of really good players in Division III. After that first tournament, I said, if I'm going to do this, and I believe, Matt, I said it to you, I want this to be the best program in Division III. I want it to be the best program in the United East Conference. And if we're going to do it, then we're going to do it right. And we had to get the guys to buy into it. We had to get them to want to work hard, want to practice, want to do something in the wintertime. And those were the type of kids, the mentality that I was looking for. So I was looking for compassionate kids that want to play golf, that want to work hard. And we've been fortunate to find them in the last 3 years. And I think we're fortunate enough to find them in the years coming up. But I didn't want to embarrass myself, and I didn't want to embarrass the college. So if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right. And what Matt, he laid the groundwork, the framework, going to that first Nationals, winning the first conference championship, I just wanted to expand on that. And from then on, my goal and my passion has been, let's make this the best program.
I think, and there's probably more than these three things, but I feel like in what I'm thinking back, the three biggest changes you made to reach that goal was, number one, hosting the D3 Elite Golf Tournament. I think secondly, you're scheduling a lot of two-day tournaments now,
exactly.
Which is important for many reasons. And please go into detail on that after this third point. And I think the third point is a small thing, but it's interesting, is yardage books. Break those three things down.
So Matt, you touched on a lot of things. There's a lot of things that I took a look at. We used to play one-day tournaments, and you would play five of those, six of those per season. I knew for the program to be successful, I wanted us to be ranked higher. So the only way for us to be ranked higher is to mirror what other successful programs have done. And those are 36-hole tournaments, and now it's 54-hole tournaments. So we looked at, let's go play some two-day tournaments. I get it. There's travel involved. We didn't do that in the past. We chased them one-day tournaments. So we started looking at two-day tournaments. What you and I have talked about a lot is success breeds success. So once you win a conference championship and then you win a second one, now we're getting invited to better tournaments. And that's what we're looking for. The Northeast Elite is a tournament that Penn State Altoona's head coach and I dreamt up. Let's get some of the top teams in the country, conference champions, winners from the Mid-Atlantic region to come to our home course, Williamsport Country Club, and play. The first year, we were able to get 12 teams. Last year, we got 20 teams, which is a little too many, but we got 20 teams. This year, they are begging. Teams are begging to come to play to our in our tournament. But what it does is it gets our team, Penn College, in front of good competition, great golf courses. We also modified the schedule. So we're not going to go back to the traditional tournaments that we played in 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We started picking better venues, better tournaments against better competition. Our team gets to see, hey, this is what other teams are doing. This is how good other teams can play. But we're also playing better golf courses. Big golf courses, long golf courses, really nice conditioned golf courses. The yardage books were just something that we were able to get that first time we went to Kentucky, to Nationals. And I said, look, if we're going to be successful, I need to give the team every tool they can to be successful. And so we were able to order yardage books for every tournament that we go play. We want to be more prepared than any other team that comes into a tournament. And that's what I strive to work on. The last thing is we never played practice rounds. We would show up at a tournament. We've never been there before. It's a hard course, great teams. And some teams were coming in playing practice rounds the day before, spending the night. And we just showed up the next day and played golf. And we struggled. Second day, or if it's a one-day tournament, you get a chance to be on the course for one day. It wasn't helping us out. So what do we need to do to get better? And that's what we did. We started playing practice rounds. And we're fortunate enough now to be able to play those. So my goal was to give the team every tool to be successful. And fortunately, the college has bought into it, and we have the resources now to do those things.
Being a golf coach is different in some ways than being a team sport coach where there's X's and O's and film and things like that. Explain a little bit what a golf coach does during week, during practice, and then kind of what your role is on match day, on tournament day.
So really, as a golf coach, I am a psychologist. You know, where we look at golf swings. I look at golf swings. I work with the kids on golf swings. Some of the players that come in have golf coaches. I will take videos of their swings, send them to their golf coaches. I will take videos of their swings and just reaffirm them to them that they're working on the right things or they're not working on the right things. Basically, I'm a mentalist. If they're playing bad, I've got to get them back to the point where they can get into a swing or a mentality where they know they can play good. And that goes with putting, long game, short game, the whole nine yards. But basically, I am just there to make them feel calm. You know how golf is, and for those out there that play golf, you'll have a good day, you'll have a bad day, and when you have a bad day, you think it's going to be the worst day in the world. For me, it's just let's calm down, let's work on things we can work on, let's get back to basics. It's a lot of a mix between practice and playing. It's short game and putting. And it's just, you guys have played golf for a long time. Let's just get to a point where we're consistent. And that's what I look for. practice for me is not yelling and screaming. Practice for me is just standing there, reaffirming what they're working on, being calm, maybe a little competition between myself and the guys. But that's what practice is. Game day, same type of thing. Everything is calm. We have a routine, and new players coming into the program, they'll have the same routine. Everything is calm. We get there early. Every player has a certain amount of time they want to warm up, but there's always that one player that needs a little extra time. And if it's a tee time type tournament, if he needs an hour, then we're going to be there 2 hours before, right? So it's the same thing. We're going to be calm. And then on course, it's just reaffirming things. I'm always on the first tee if it's a tee time tournament. I'm always out there with them. I always say, what are you thinking? Because I don't want to go in and go, oh, that putt is breaking right in. It's going to go 7 feet. And he's thinking, no, it's only going to break 2 feet. And this is what I see. So I always ask him, what are you looking at? What do you think? If I see something close, we'll talk about it. If I see something that's way off from their thinking, I may interject that. And basically, it's just, you're going to play your own game. I can't hit the ball for you. I'm just here to help. Where's the wind going? Are the greens fast or firm? Are they slow? And then just basically there to talk them off the ledge if things go bad. Because once you hit a shot, good or bad, it's over. We're going to go hit another shot.
You do have a secret weapon if you want to talk about this. If not, we can cut this. It's a blue rubber wedge in your bag.
Well, it's actually a 7-iron.
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 It's blue?
It is blue. And it has a blue shaft.
Blue shaft, rubber.
It is.
You've used it on me, and I think I've failed most of the time. And you've been incredibly patient in that. What is the secret weapon?
So it's a flexible club. It's a club with a flexible shaft. And basically what it does is it teaches you to load the club up at the top and basically shallow it out at the bottom. If you swing too hard, it goes bad. If you swing too soft, it goes bad. But it just basically teaches you timing. That club is in the back of my pickup truck. The guys use it all the time. And that's one thing that I've been able to do is buy some training aids for the guys. We'll see some crazy training aids, and if they want to try them, pretty good chance they're in the truck or they're on the driving range. So it's, you and I have worked with that club. I've worked with it. It's a club that just slows everybody down, allows you to hit it smooth, and you'll find it. You'll find it. And if you kept working with it, you'd find it too.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet. I hope to find it someday very soon. Rob is very patient with me, which I appreciate. And then, of course, when we get to hit a few, we always have fun, and you're always very generous with your advice and your patience. So publicly, I appreciate that. If I'm a high school golfer right now wanting to play at the next level, what are you looking for in me, and how can I get in contact with you to start a dialogue on coming to Penn College?
So what I look for is, and you, we all, Matt, you and I know this, it takes a special student athlete to want to pick Penn College. They're going to come to Penn College for their major, and there's some awesome majors here at Penn College. So what I look for is I look for a player that's pretty passionate about golf. I look for a player that has played competition golf, high school golf, that plays some summer tournaments. That's just competition. I look for players that know the rules of golf. I look for guys that, and this sounds redundant, play golf, right? Just not out with their friends, but play some type of competition. If that's you and you're looking at coming to Penn College, then there's the traditional channels through the website or through the athletic website to express your interest, and I will reach out to you. I always do. And then what I do, and a number of players do every year, is I'll follow your progress throughout the summer, follow your high school progress. The good thing here is we've had some success. We've got some players that are interested in coming to Penn College or interested in the program. I'm interested in everybody. What we do is, as a incoming freshman, they come in the fall. I always give the guys that are interested in playing golf time to just to get to know the college, find your home here, find your classes, and then we get together as a team or as a prospective team, and we'll talk, we'll practice, we will qualify. There is a qualifying process for the team, and then we go from there.
If I'm playing a District 4 championship at Williamsport Country Club and I shoot an 81, does that translate to me being on the Penn College team playing at Williamsport Country Club? Does the high school score translate to college? And maybe what are the biggest differences between the two?
Well, there's a big difference. Obviously, in college, we're playing golf courses at 6,800 or longer in distance. So we do play tougher courses. We do play longer courses. In high school, too, in the state of Pennsylvania, there are a lot of nine-hole high school matches. Mm. So I will see, this is what I traditionally shoot, a nine-hole score. We're walking 18 holes. And some days, if we play a 54-hole tournament, we're walking 36 one day, 18 the second day. So there's a big transition from high school to college. That score is still a score playing golf. But I will say in college golf, we're going to play longer golf courses, tougher courses, with the schedule that we've built here.
Yeah, the physical component to it is interesting. Peyton Mussina was in here the other day, and we were talking to him about the upcoming nationals, and he had mentioned about his experience last year that he had played, I believe it was four rounds in a week in Vegas in 100 and whatever degree weather,
yes.
And that fourth round physically was taxing.
It is. It was. I mean, it was hot. You think we came from spring, May, Pennsylvania, to Vegas, where it was never under 100 degrees every day. They might tell you it's a dry heat. It's hot out there. And it's 7,000 yards of walking. And that golf course, both of those golf courses were a long walk. So you were probably walking 5-6 miles a day, every day in that heat. So there's a big transition there, you know, from 36 holes to walking in college.
Yeah. We always wrap these up with favorite moments. Is there a moment that you can talk about on the course and off the course that jumps out to you?
There's probably too many stories for the podcast, but I think my favorite moments are obviously the conference championship wins. You know, my first one was probably my favorite. The Peyton Mussina making the cut as an individual last year was a great moment. At one point, looking down and seeing that he was in the lead of the tournament, just a proud moment as a coach. So any time I spend in the van, we call it van life, D3 van life. Anytime I spend in the van, there's always favorite moments there. And so I can't pinpoint one favorite time. I will say that we played in a tournament last year down at Bucknell, and it was in the practice round. Will Orwick, one of our players, senior this year, had a hole in one. And we were all standing there on the tee, and we watched it go in. It was his first hole in one. That's kind of special. But I probably have 50 favorite times with the team.
And your first championship, if I'm remembering correctly, was at Clinton County.
Mm-hmm. Clinton Country Club.
Clinton Country Club in the rain, and it had to be was it a one round or a two round in one day?
It was 36 holes in one day.
In the rain.
In the rain.
First time
for your first championship?
For the first championship. And it was cold, it was wet, it was raining. What a lot of guys didn't see was we got there early because we were the hosts of the tournament. And there's a small stream in front of the first tee. And my guys fished and caught trout.
Oh, geez.
Right out of the van. But it's crazy stuff like that that makes this special coaching job.
Yeah. All right, Rob. That's all we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. That wraps up this episode of Wild.